Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
To the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. And away we go. Happy Tuesday morning to everybody on what I consider to be an unofficial national holiday. It is Bill Murray's birthday.
Is it really?
Bill Murray's birthday. And if you would like to feel old, and I really do not, he is 71 today.
Ouch. Unload that right at the top of the show.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while yet.
Your Excellency.
All right. Let's go.
Bill Murray once famously said he loves acting because he only has to be good 90 seconds at a time.
It's a good way to look at it.
Carlin relates to that. See, his head popped up.
So many jokes. So little time.
Right, so true.
But he's famously a very mercurial, difficult person to work with.
Difficult?
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Really?
But he's...
Difficult
within
in what
the
way?
Scenes, he's very fun, but he's very, like, tough to, like... get to even show up for like movies and
oh, you can't right? even what? Like contact him to get jobs. Like he's impossible to reach. So if you actually get him, you've accomplished something.
Is but that
the,
right?
The stories from the set of Groundhog Day are legendary.
I did not know any of this.
They ruined a friendship.
Wow.
Like he and Harold Ramis, I don't think they talked after that.
He used to go on Letterman all the time and they used to book him and not get any confirmation that he was going to show up or not. So the day of the taping, they would be, you know, start the show, and he wouldn't be there, not know if he was going to be there or not.
Good.
And he'd, like, swing in from, like, the chandelier or something and show
all right,
up.
I think I know your answer. Mm-hmm. Favorite Bill Murray movie of all time? Yours is Stripes, correct?
Yeah, Stripes. Yeah. But there are he is just so utterly compelling to me in everything he's in.
Jared? Have you seen anything he's done in the last 15 years?
Yeah, now? Yeah. Yeah, no, again, I know it's not the same. The movie where he was the rock promoter in Afghanistan?
I didn't see that.
I know what you're talking about.
It wasn't a great movie, but even in that, it's Bill Murray.
He is very compelling.
You know, here's the other thing I wanted to mention really quickly, because I had a moment yesterday that blew my mind when I started talking about Derrick Henry and how he struggled against Seattle, mm-hmm. and I was unaware of what he did in the second half. I thought to myself, how did that happen? And I figured out it happened because I was going down at Cardinal Stadium to the post-game interviews, and it was just getting good in Seattle at that time.
Mm.
Never returned to that game that evening, but I had it in my head because Bernsey and I, we had a conversation at halftime about this very thing about, oh, look, Derrick Henry, 13 carries, 35 yards. Maybe the Cardinals' defense wasn't that good after all. If I was playing fantasy football this year, this would not have happened to me. So this was an example right out of the gate.
Why fantasy football's good?
Not necessarily good, but
makes
how it engages you.
That's
makes
why
you aware of things.
That's why I knew. I have right. Derrick Henry on three of my four fantasy
right.
football teams.
You know who the leading rusher in the NFL is right now?
I don't.
Derrick Henry. By 44 yards over the number
that's
two
great.
Rusher.
Yeah. That's great. So you know what I'm saying? I thought that was interesting. All right.
The moral of the story,
enough
kids,
of my
is
nonsense.
Play fantasy
right.
football.
Enough of my nonsense. Carlin, start the show.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Get him all coming.
The Splash. Brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
The Arizona Cardinals, one of only seven teams in the NFL to start the season 2-0. Off day today before getting ready for their road game in Jacksonville against the Jaguars on Sunday. Cliff Kingsbury announced yesterday that right tackle Calvin Beecham and rookie cornerback Marco Wilson both day-to-day. Beecham dealing with an injury to his ribs, while Wilson was limited to 15 snaps in Sunday's win over Minnesota before leaving with an injury. So I guess good news there that it's nothing more serious, and that's the way Cliff Kingsbury termed it yesterday in his presser.
Minor deal, Vinny.
Minor deal. A little bit more detail than minor deal, because there has to be a little bit more detail. But so far through 2 weeks, not only two wins, but pretty much, knock on wood, unscathed on the injury front.
Yeah, and this football team has got an amazing opportunity, just like they did last year at this time, that they have to, I mean, they need to be laser focused and go and win this game. No drama.
Well, it's hard to do when you travel to a city like Jacksonville with all of its nightlife and distractions.
Yeah. It really is.
And the culture there.
Nothing quite like the Florida Panhandle.
Thank goodness.
It was the Aaron Show last night at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdown passes, three of them to Aaron Jones, who also had a running touchdown. And the Packers washed away some of their embarrassment from an opening day blowout loss to New Orleans. They beat the Lions 35-17 on Monday Night Football. Lions led 17-14 at the half, but Rodgers took over while the Green Bay defense pitched a shutout in the final 30 minutes.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, by the way, was wearing a necklace that contained his father's ashes and lost it during the game. Which begs the question...
His first game since his father passed away.
Yes. Which begs the question, why do NFL players wear jewelry in competition?
I'm not a jewelry guy at all, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a jewelry guy.
Well, I think that, I mean, you never know when you're going to run into Aqib Talib and he's going to rip that thing off your face.
In the booth?
It could be. Could be.
Did you see, before the game, pregame interview, he just attacked.
Did you see Aqib Talib's wardrobe?
I missed it.
Oh, it was.
How was his performance this time?
It was. He was Aqib Talib.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's with Gus Johnson.
And they're doing this weekend's game.
They are doing this week's game too. Okay. In Jackson, you'll get a better idea.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed Aqib Talib last year. I was in the minority on that.
I mean,
I didn't get to hear him Sunday.
Me and my kids were joking because he did say in the first part of the game probably 100 times that the Vikings offense runs through Dalvin Cook.
You can't get that stuff anywhere
which
else.
I didn't know going into that.
Right,
game.
I know.
The Atlanta Braves exploded for 7 runs in the top of the 5th inning, turning a 3-2 deficit into a 6-run lead on their way to an easy 11-4 series opening win over the D-backs at Chase Field. Freddie Freeman had 2 run scoring hits in the inning. And Adam Duvall clubbed a 2-run homer off Taylor Widener. The loss for the D-backs puts them at 48-102, tied with the Baltimore Orioles for the worst record in baseball.
Oh,
series.
They're tied now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is good. Come on, D-backs!
And what's the franchise record for losses?
111.
Oh, yeah. That's going down.
Which is close. Oh, I don't know. It's going to be close.
Let's go, D-backs.
It is 111, right?
It's 111, yeah. And there are 12 games
happen.
Left.
So they need to go 2-9 to match it.
1-10 to break it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Series continues tonight with Luke Weaver on the mound for Arizona against Atlanta's Jesse Chavez. First pitch, 6:40. Pregame coverage starts at 6 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Major League Baseball, by the way, announced yesterday that all participants in the upcoming Arizona Fall League will be required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. It is baseball's first mandatory ruling affecting players on the matter. The league gets underway around the Valley on October 13th. Admission. I've never been to a fall league game. This is the year I check that box, I think.
Wow. I cannot believe. That stuns me, Vinny. That really stuns me.
Yeah. It's
as much as you like that kind of.
You know what's weird, though? I love baseball, but when football season rolls around, it's back burner city for me.
Yeah, I hear you.
And a lot of other people.
That makes sense. Isn't it true that Michael Jordan and some other great baseball player played the Fall League at the same year? Maybe. When did Jeter come into Major League Baseball? When did Jeets
90,
come
down?
Yeah, that's about right.
That might have been it.
96? 5?
Okay, that might have been it. Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan, I think, played in the Fall League the same year. There are people who saw them both play in the Arizona Fall League.
I think Mike Trout played in the Fall League.
A lot of people played the Fall League.
Oh, the access? If you want to watch, if you want to dork out, what a dork!
What a bunch of dorks! No, it's like spring training, but even more so, like more access.
Yeah.
Wasn't Josh Rawich there for that, for Michael Jordan? I'm pretty sure he witnessed that year.
It was Steve Gilbert.
Oh, Steve
Gilbert. We had Steve Gilbert on.
That's right.
The Arizona Coyotes made it official yesterday. They're fully going back to the Kachina uniform look they sported from their arrival in the Valley in 96 to 2003 by bringing back the White Road Kachina jersey. Coyotes played with a split look last year. They will wear an alternate jersey eight times, but they've got the Kachina logo at center ice for the first time in team history.
And as Sarah's been mentioning during her updates, how about the renderings of that new hockey arena? Let's go with that.
Looks pretty cool, doesn't it?
But stadiums always look great on renderings.
Yeah.
Remember when ASU football unleashed those renderings?
Oh,
it was like the coolest thing we've ever
seen. The canopy is over. What happened to that? somebody joked about that on Twitter yesterday about, I'll just add this to all the collection of all the other stadium renderings I have for the Coyotes.
And it's the only thing not being built in Tempe right now.
Yep.
True.
A couple of quick notes. ASU, they lose Trevez Moore, the defensive end, for the remainder of the season with an injury. They'll host Colorado in their Pac-12 opener on Saturday. Veteran NBA guard J.J. Redick announced his retirement today. Redick played for 15 years for six different teams, and he's 15th on the league's all-time three-pointers made list. And Pac-12 men's and women's basketball teams will play home-and-home series with Southwestern Athletic Conference. Historically black colleges and universities. 4-year deal. ASU's going to Texas Southern in 2022 for their first game in the series.
Okay.
There you go. There's your splash for Tuesday, September 21st, 2021. Going into week 3, Cardinals still have that unblemished record. We'll get into some Cardinals talk next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta. Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, no, I won't. Anytime you can, especially having two turnovers, throwing a pick six, roughing a punter, I mean, having some real things go against you and still finding a way, that was good to see.
It's Cliff Kingsbury on with Wolf and Luke yesterday for his weekly visit. Nope, not apologizing for winning, nor should you. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kick. Somebody reached out on Twitter yesterday and said, Cardinals should have lost that game. And I said, hey, I checked the standings again, and there's no should have lost column, so it's 2-0. You got to take them when you can get them. Chances are things even out to the point, Bick, where the Cardinals will be in position to win a game that will be stolen from
them. Well, and again, I think there's a lot to be said for that, but there are also a lot of games like that along a good team's journey in which you almost get bit and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick in that matter is in those games is to not get bit. And last year the Cardinals did. And no, you don't apologize for that. I do think that it was enlightening. It was sort of a reality check for the defense, and I'm not sure what we're going to get physically from them going forward, but there were a lot of good things that were highlighted on Sunday, Vinny. For instance, the wide receiver room. Rondale Moore playing the way he did, Christian Kirk backing up his really good game in week one, kind of tells you, okay, there's a lot of stuff there. Now, A.J. Green hasn't really impressed me yet. He had a nice touchdown that included a nice stiff arm, but he hasn't really been all that productive. But as it looks now, he might not have to be. And he could always step aside for Fitz in about a month or so, right?
Still think that's going to happen?
No, I don't. Now, Anquan Boldin, though, was recently on a podcast with Patrick Peterson. He was in the All Things Covered podcast.
Yep.
And he said it's 50-50 in his mind. But
he did.
But in talking about it, you could tell Anquan, it's not like Anquan really knows a ton about it. He's just basing on what he thinks he knows about Larry. It wasn't like, I've been talking to him, and I would say it's 50-50.
Yeah. The receiving core is an interesting starting point for discussion because we did talk a bit about it yesterday, that DeAndre Hopkins, 4 targets, 54 yards and a touchdown. That all came in the first quarter, the first half of the first quarter, basically. And then it was spread around. If you look at the target distribution, Rondale Moore, 8 targets. Max Williams, 7. Chase Edmonds, 5. Hopkins and Kirk had 4. A.J. Green had 6.
Mm-hmm.
Second most among the receiving core. Here was Cliff Kingsbury yesterday with Wolf and Luke talking about A.J. Green, getting him more involved and whether or not that was by design.
It played out that way. They were doing some different things to take Hop away and rolling coverage to his side, and still got to find a way to get him the ball more. I mean, he's such a dynamic playmaker for us, and I did a poor job in the second half of getting him involved, but that was what they were giving us, and AJ was able to have some plays come his way.
Again, this is a bit nitpicky, but somewhat confusing for me. Is you hear the Cardinals say, well, Minnesota was doing some things to take DeAndre Hopkins away, but we have to do a better job of getting the ball to him.
Right. We've heard that a lot.
I mean,
mentioned his side. Maybe the answer is not having a side for DeAndre Hopkins.
Again, and we went back to that, too. You know, it was pointed out, it's a tempo thing. It's easier for players to line up. If you want to goose the tempo a little bit, if you know where you're going and you're sticking on one side.
Well, it keeps things simple.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the number of times I could go back and review it, but the play clock almost blew up on the Cardinals a dozen times at least in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're going at this breakneck speed at all times.
No, that's exactly right. But having the ability to do that and no huddle at some point in time for some reason is more important to Cliff Kingsbury than getting DeAndre Hopkins on the move. You see a lot of wide receivers. How many times does Tyreek Hill run back and forth in front of the quarterback, get momentum for a route, and just confuse the defense as to where his launch point is? He does it a lot. A lot of receivers do it. But then again, this is an easier thing to do if you're going to goose tempo, and given the fact that DeAndre Hopkins does not rep a lot in practice.
Yes, but I will say this. The biggest problem I had is when they got into the red zone and they had to settle for a field goal, and they didn't look DeAndre Hopkins' way. Even if you're bracketed, I mean, he's good enough to take on double teams and win contested battles for a ball in the end zone. So that was my really only complaint.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it big picture, and through 2 weeks, Bick, your top four wide receivers all have touchdown catches.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's
pretty good.
That's something that's going to catch the attention of a lot of teams that are on the Cardinals schedule.
The other
year.
Series that kind of bothered me was at the very end of the game when they were trying, in theory, they were trying to run the clock out.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second play, they threw the ball. That's, if you're going to throw the ball, do that 2 yard screen to Hopkins.
Absolutely.
And try to let him break something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he's going to stay in bounds and stuff like that. And they didn't do it there either.
No, that was it. That was a lingering issue last year. No real clarity about how do we close out this football game. And that speaks to what the Cardinals were trying to become. Coming into the year, the addition of James Conner, the idea that we're going to be more physical, we're going to attack the line of scrimmage, there was an opportunity to do that at the end of the game, and that's not the route they chose to go. And Kyler Murray, that to me, I was listening to Burns and Gambo yesterday, and I agree with what Burns said. He said the play of Kyler Murray running out of bounds in that situation was really the only issue he had with Kyler's performance, even considering the interceptions. And in real time, I felt exactly the same way. Kyler Murray's first interception, it was just a great intuitive play by that linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that happens. Happens the best. Second one was a mistake. He might have been hit in the head. Maybe he didn't. He delivered the ball late, but he has been so good, he's entitled to make a mistake out of over-aggression.
I agree.
The running out of bounds, you can't do that.
No, you got to fall down there.
And but Gambo came out and said, yeah, well, you know, he realized it 3 step. He just couldn't stop. That's not good enough.
No.
But you can't excuse that.
Then it was compounded by the play call on second down to throw the ball. Again, you can't.
Right.
The Cardinals should have lost crowd. I'm agreeing with you. They should have.
Right.
They did enough things wrong, especially in crunch time on that drive to merit a loss. And the Vikings couldn't take advantage of it. But you can't compound things. And Cliff Kingsbury, in the post-game interview he did with Paul Calvisi on the Cardinals radio network, he said it again.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it was dumb play calling. We can't do that.
Yeah. No, listen, you're exactly right about that. And I think that speaks to the lack of clarity and maybe the anxiety or whatever it is that has sort of marked some of the late game clock management, play calling issues that we have had here with this regime. You're exactly right. Kyler Murray makes a play to stop the clock, and now you're thinking, okay, we've got to get another first down. If we're really going to milk the clock, now we got to get a first down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw the ball, and that was just bad stuff. I agree with you on that.
And they got away with it.
Yeah, and they got away with it. So the big issue coming out of week one, clearly the defensive line. Is this team going to be able to stop physical rushing attacks? They're one for one. Or, I'm sorry, they're one for two in 2021.
Well, and doing that in week one was compounded by jumping out to a 17-point lead.
Exactly.
But let's not forget,
exactly.
They wasn't just lining up and stonewalling Derrick Henry in that running game. The Titans played into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, a win for the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football. Is everything good at Lambeau? We'll get into that and more NFL talk next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Here's the snap. Rodgers looking, waiting, sends it out left side. Aaron Jones wide open to the end zone. Touchdown! 11-yard touchdown pass. Aaron Rodgers to Aaron Jones, and a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stand for Showtime.
That's Wayne Larrabee on WTMJ. One of four touchdown passes for Aaron Rodgers. One of four visits to the end zone by Aaron Jones. And what looked to be a little bit tenuous at times, second half domination by the Green Bay Packers. 35-17, they beat the Lions, who busted out the all-white uniforms last night, by the way. It was kind of a weird look for them.
I kind of dug them a little bit.
Did you?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it looked like they were in practice pants to me. But
okay.
Hey, they're the Lions. Does,
yeah.
does it really
matter? What do you
matter?
Expect? Yeah, what do you expect?
They go to 0-2, the Packers in the win column for the first time after, the worst performance league-wide in week one when they lose by 32 mm-hmm. points to the New Orleans Saints. So they get the offense untracked, and there was a lot of speculation about Aaron Rodgers, his mindset, his happiness level going into the season. Certainly didn't go away after week one, but Aaron Rodgers performed on Monday Night Football and then had this to say.
I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Okay. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I want to talk about what you guys think of his vibe right now, from the long hair to this, all this stuff. Okay? Because this is one of the premier quarterbacks in football. This is one of the premier marketed dudes in the NFL, one of the handful of guys who, you know, kind of hog the national endorsement scene. And for him after the game to reference trolls and overreactions and for him to talk about the periphery when he instigated everything is ridiculous.
You trolled everyone more than anyone ever trolled you.
Yes.
He was the biggest troll this offseason.
He hijacked the NFL draft through the national media.
He did.
He enlisted the biggest names in NFL sports media and took over one of the league's premier, if not the premier, offseason event. He manipulated the media, played the media, and stayed back the whole time. Stayed clean the whole time. To the point where you were getting really aggravated. Like, dude, why don't you just say what you want?
Yeah.
And now to come out afterwards and go, oh, it's just so good to quiet down that noise.
Your actions stoked the trolls, and now you're concerned about how the trolls react.
Now you want them to go away. Uh-huh.
Look, what a joke. I think the cat's out of the bag on Aaron Rodgers. He will be the most scrutinized, the most under-the-microscope player for the remainder of his career, whether it's in Green Bay or elsewhere, because of what he did this past offseason. I found it fascinating. On the CBS Sunday pregame show, they had all their panel members. I'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. I want to do play another one from Aaron Rodgers about this comment raised some eyebrows too.
Was there a change in attitude, especially after some of you guys said maybe there was some overconfidence going into the Saints game?
I don't know. I just guess I think we maybe tried to show that we cared a little bit more tonight.
Obviously, you cared last week, but did you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Wow, it's a refreshing concept, isn't it, Aaron? People like to say bleep, what's on their mind, instead of, I don't know, tiptoeing around it and dropping hints and breadcrumbs.
And using other people to get your message across.
I think that's actually kind of refreshing when people say what they're exactly thinking or what they're desiring as an end result.
Yeah. It's funny because when this all went down via Adam Schefter, I was convinced that Aaron Rodgers was going to never play football in Green Bay again. You were convinced exactly the opposite. I still don't know what this is about or really what his end game in all of this is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the surface, what has changed other than they signed an old teammate he used to like and he allegedly has some voice in what the team is doing now? What really has changed for Aaron Rodgers?
His contract.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, that too. So really was that all this was?
Oh, what changed was he didn't get traded. That's what changed.
But did he ever really want to be traded? I guess he did. But I think back about
Mark Schlereth. But we're still guessing on that.
Remember Mark Schlereth got a phone call from somebody because the Packers called the Broncos, and that was news to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers reached out. What are you hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. I just think that you're right about that. The level of scrutiny towards him and that team and the vibe of that team, it's gonna be weird.
Yeah, and he can act like, okay, we got the trolls off our back and everything's fine and the whole relaxed mentality. What they did last night was they beat a bad football team. They beat a bad rebuilding football team that they struggled with for 30 minutes of a game on their home field on national television.
Yeah, and I got news for you. Jared Goff without Sean McVay, I don't think is going to end very well.
I thought Jared Goff actually played really
did
well
you?
Last night.
Okay.
he plays for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I know.
Who's his number one receiver? Quintez Cephas, who was actually pretty good last night, too.
Sounds like a made-up.
Going back to that the CBS pregame show, they went around the table. Boomer Esiason said, I think Rodgers is going to be okay. But he got some resistance to that. Nate Burleson.
No, I don't think it's going to be fine. He could come back tomorrow with another bad game. You know, how many times in the offseason, Coach, have you said to young players,
reference sake, this was on Sunday before they played last night.
Offseason is important. I need you guys to show up, even when it's voluntary.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers spent the entire offseason, just call it what it is, making it about himself. Sending a message, yes, but I don't need notes and I don't need to look at the camera and tell Aaron Rodgers how much I love him and appreciate it. I've been covering him for 5 years. I know how good he is. But what he did this offseason is a direct result of why he played so bad. And as far as relaxing and seeming like he's bored, his disposition was bad on the sideline, too. Mm-hmm. He almost seemed like he was uninterested in what was going on. Yeah. So for me, I think it all started in the offseason, and it all fell apart last week.
Well, that changed, obviously. Mm-hmm. They played a lot better, especially in the second half.
Fortuitous scheduling, as you said.
Yeah,
Good time to play the Lions.
Yes, it was. Bill Cowher on the same CBS pregame show. Again, this from Sunday.
I think it all started when they drafted Jordan Love last year. And I think he played with a chip on his shoulder last year, which is fine. But then all of a sudden he talks about, you know, where he's at and maybe he should move on. He starts talking about other things and personnel moves. You know what, Aaron? He's a quarterback. You're a player. You play. The people in the front office will make decisions. Don't worry about Jordan Love. And to me, he's now made it personal. He looks very selfish. He almost looks aloof. And I agree with you. You know, I always says perception is reality. And you look at him on the sideline, he looks like he really doesn't care. I know it's no time to panic. Yes, I hear relax, and he'll have a great game on Monday night. But you know, show me you care.
Mm.
Show me it's important to you that the team is more important than who you are. And right now, I have not seen that.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that's going to happen. I mean, again, it was a win against Detroit. They're 1-1.
Guess he's got a weird vibe about him. He does.
Guess where they go next week? Sunday night in Santa Clara against the 49ers on NBC.
Ooh.
That's not going to be an easy game.
Oof. But you did see in the second half just how good Aaron Rodgers is at throwing darts and hitting receivers in stride.
He's ridiculous.
He is so good at hitting receivers in stride, and what that does to an offense is it's breathtaking. Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Week 3 of the NFL season kicks off this Thursday. Still time for you to sign up for Bick's Picks. Text PICK to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Just text PICK to 620-620 to enter. Quick note on that. In years past, we would always get results on Bix Picks. Are they that bad that they're just being kept under wraps?
They might be. They might be. It's Vinny. Maybe this is a
character.
Maybe this is a character flaw in me. I don't wake up on Monday morning rushing to see how I did in Bix Picks.
Oh, that's definitely on you.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't do that.
Coming
up next, obviously the NFL season is here. The Cardinals off to a good start, and they are buzzworthy. But buckle up, Valley sports fans.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns, the defending Western Conference champions, they're almost back. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Dan Bickley and Marotta.
Yeah, it is Bickley and Marotta Mornings, Tuesday edition. We come to you live from the Auction Community Studios, taking you up till 10 o'clock, and then it's Wolf and Luke, followed by Burns and Gambo, our new lineup here at 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. You've been hinting at this, and we got a reminder yesterday about just how close this is. Cardinals, they're doing their part. There's always a buzz about football season. The Cardinals have done their part. They've started 2-0. They've played an exciting brand of football, especially Sunday. That was a very entertaining football game.
Mm-hmm.
There's people touting them as contenders. You've been bringing this up, Bick. What if the Cardinals can match or somewhat match the success that the Phoenix Suns had last season?
Right.
We get the email yesterday. Phoenix Suns Media Day is in 6 days.
Wow.
Training camp starts a week from today.
Yeah.
And then preseason games are not far. They are back very quickly.
They're back! I'm back!
To defend their Western Conference title. And it could create a scenario that we are not very used to in Phoenix, Arizona. And that is having two major league sports franchises the talk of the town at the same time.
Yeah. Full-on engagement as a sports market does not happen here very often. It's only happened a couple of times that I can remember. But this is what we're doing, and this is kind of what we've all been waiting for, and that is to have a team like the Suns that just played for an NBA championship. And that season in the NBA Finals, I don't know about you, but it's still got a real surreal kind of feel to it. Very much like the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, where you have to look at yourself, wait, did that really, that really happened. Yeah, they were really that close to winning a Super Bowl. And it sticks with you, and it feels like magic, like, wow, that was unreal. I feel that way about the Suns, and I keep going back to, man, we were 2-0 in the NBA Finals, and we thought it was over. We did. We thought it was coming and it didn't, but so they're running it back, and we know the love here for that team, and that's going to get fired up here very quickly. Now that is going to merge with everything that's happening with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, because with all due respect to Devin Booker and Chris Paul, Kyler Murray is even more electrifying. He can do things that make your jaw drop. Even more so than D-Book, even more so than D-A, even more than Chris Paul. Now, you can argue semantics about, you know, how right or wrong I might be in that, but what I'm saying is, if this season continues and does not get off the rails like last football season did, these are going to be the glory days in Arizona, in my opinion.
Because let's face it, by the time the Suns started their season, and they didn't exactly start like a house on fire. They were 8-8 after 16 games, but that season started right before Christmas because of the COVID change of the schedule. The Cardinals were already pretty much circling the drain at that point. Now, they did have opportunity to salvage the season by winning one of their last two. We know how that shook out. So the way this lines up calendar-wise is something completely different. And potentially very, very cool.
And I can't wait to see the vibe that comes off this basketball team. Are they going to come in hot? Are DA and McHale going to have chips on their shoulders without new deals? Are they going to have new deals? It's all going to be fascinating because it's not going to be like the first time. And there's going to be expectations on this basketball team's back. There's going to be a target on their back. Even now, early prognosticators don't see the Suns as winning the Western Conference. They rank probably third in most, and it's really early. But again, the Lakers are getting the nod, as always. And
of
I don't
course.
Know, and I don't know who's slotted behind him, but it's
Utah's getting a lot of love.
Jarrett, it feels like you're about to actually say something. Make it funny. Make it count.
Oh, no.
Make it count, Jarrett.
Oh no.
Zip right. Zop Zoop?
Oh gosh.
Exactly. <That's...
laughs>
What?
Zip Zop Zoop?
Huh? What the hell just happened?
I don't know.
I think it'll be interesting though to see if the Suns players and organization back the Cardinals the way that the Cardinals backed the Suns during their run. Like, will they return that same love?
It's funny you should say that, because Vinny and I always, we notice this. There's a lot of grandstanding in all sports towns. One team does well and gets that big, deep embrace from everybody. Everyone wants to glom onto that, right?
Yeah.
The D-backs showed up wearing Suns gear. Suns like, get off.
Together.
Get off our trade, man. We don't want your energy.
They got blamed for a loss.
They did.
For a loss. Get off, man.
And where's
we don't
all...
need your energy.
Have we seen any Valley athletes reach out and say, come on, D-backs, finish strong in these last 12 games?
Nobody.
No.
You're exactly right.
Everybody wants to be part of a win.
Right, right. Everybody. And so, but then you have to also face... there's a finite amount of recreational dollars in this valley. It's getting better. It's been worse. But these sports teams are in competition, with fierce competition with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to sell tickets as a sports team in Arizona. Newsflash, right? The Suns have cracked that code now. The Cardinals have in the past. Cardinals have got to get their home field advantage back. Suns have one right now.
Mm-hmm. Just to go back into history about just and focusing solely on the Suns. The last time they went to an NBA Finals before last year was 1993. They added a couple pieces in the offseason. They ran it back. They started 24-6 that year. It was a very good basketball team and a very worthy Western Conference Finals title defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, obviously, for this year's Suns. And a lot of people think that they're in position, when you consider all the things in the Western Conference and a couple of injuries factored in there in Denver and with the Clippers, the competition at the top right now is maybe not as thick as it's going to be by the end of the year. This is an opportunity for the Suns to come out strong.
Well, and it's been 10-plus years before the Suns have been in this position, which is why this has got me so hyped. Because having a good football team, which we've had alternatively in the last decade, it's enough to sustain you. It can get you through the week if you've got the right football team. Like B.A., Carson Palmer, this one, Kyler Murray. You can spend your week as a sports fan kind of in that universe and talk and think and relate and all that. And then the game comes and it all resets and you do it again. Throw in a Phoenix Suns team that might be playing twice in a game week with the Cardinals, and again, you've got a full-on engaged sports market because we have two actual hope title contenders.
Which it has almost never happened in the history of Valley sports, with a city with four sports teams.
And it's happened in other cities recently. I mean, L.A. had their run. Last year with the Lakers winning and the Dodgers winning.
Boston's had about two decades. They've
had their runs.
Tampa Bay.
Right.
Hey, look, I'll let the cat out of the bag right now. At the end of the World Series, Milwaukee might be celebrating another title. The Brewers are really good.
Okay, and here's the deal, too, because what we have coming up now is going to have to last us, because it's pretty obvious that the Diamondbacks and the Coyotes are going to stink out loud for a while.
Rebuilding.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to throw shade on them. I do think the Coyotes have a good management team in place. They've just got no talent right now. They've sold off the farm. It is going to be a while.
Yeah, but the Kachinas.
And the renderings, that new arena,
think
man.
The renderings.
Think of the renderings. and the Diamondbacks, I mean, they've been a dumpster fire.
But what if they're the best dumpster fire in the league?
Well, this is what we have to rally around, right? We have to rally around the basement.
Oh, it's going to be a cool time. Basketball season's just about here.
Oh, I know. Oh. I know. So you merge these two, and this is going to be something.
It has the potential to be something.
Okay.
On both sides.
Well,
let's not get ahead of ourselves like we did when it was 2-0 in the finals. All right, coming up next, he's never seen Star Wars, but he's playing like he's using the Force. We'll get into Kyler Murray's early season performance next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.